Okay, if you have your Bible, grab it and turn with me to Obadiah chapter 5. Obadiah chapter 5. You're going to get to the big books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah. We've been looking at Obadiah the last couple times here as we gather, and we're going to look at verses 5 to 7 in particular, just very briefly tonight. And as we do, I want to ask you, where do you turn when life is hard? When you find life is difficult, where do you turn for help? Some of us turn to people that we think will give us answers. Some of us turn to resources that we think will give us some sort of insight. Others of us turn to treasures of the world, thinking that if I just have more things, then maybe I can protect myself or at least have some sort of cushion if life is going in a direction I don't want. But where we turn shows what we ultimately love. And tonight, I want us to just grasp this idea that comfort and counsel must come from Christ. That when life is hard, our comfort and our counsel must come from Christ. And so with that, let me go ahead and read our passage tonight. It's Obadiah chapter 1, since there's only one chapter, verses 5 to 7. If thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, how you would have been destroyed. Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? How Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. All your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have prevailed against you. Those who eat your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. To kind of give us a background, we got to remember where Obadiah is in the progression of Old Testament history. And what we see is that the moment Israel began to wander away from the ways of God, shortly after Solomon's death, two men came to power and they began to split the kingdom in half between the northern nation of Israel and the southern nation of Judah. And as the northern nation of Israel continued to rebel, their downward spiral quickly led into the Assyrians to capture them in 722 BC. Well, the southern nation of Judah had a few kings that brought them back to the Lord, but it wasn't long after, in 587 BC, that the Babylonians rose to power and then conquered the southern nation of Judah. And you can just imagine if a foreign army's coming in and you see that, your initial reaction is to flee. And so some of these people fled south, and in particular southeast, through the region of Edom, which is a mountainous region. And Edom is a descendant of Esau, and Judah is a descendant of Jacob. And so these two nations would have been brothers. And instead of helping a brother out, Edom captures them, turns them over to the Babylonians, thinking, look at us. As we saw last time, Edom arose with a bunch of pride because they believed their position of being in a mountainous region would protect them from their enemies. We saw how often our pride leads us to trust in things other than the Lord, and we continue to see that. The first thing we see here is a shifting security. We see these people in Edom are putting their security in something that is actually shifting. You see, they believe that if they're hunkered down in the mountainous region, the enemy won't know where they're at. They can hide in caves and they'll be fine. They also think that if we can hide our trinkets and our treasures in those caves, no one will know and we will be fine. But notice what God says. Look at verse 5 again. He says, if thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, he's supposing, let's just play make-believe. if a thief came or somebody came to plunder, wouldn't they steal only enough for themselves? Rarely does a thief come into your house and steal every single item in your house. They steal what they want, and they leave the rest. And he uses another example. If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings? So if people came to your vineyard and were gathering grapes, they're not going to pluck every single grape off your vineyard, are they? Clearly not. So if even the grape gatherers leave something, and even the thieves leave something, get this picture. Look at verse 6. How Esau, that's their descendant, how Esau has been pillaged, his treasures sought out. Even the thief and the gatherer leave something behind, but your enemy will so plunder you, nothing will be left. They say in Proverbs that pride comes before fall. Here, Edom is prideful, thinking, we have it all figured out. We have our treasures secure and guarded. And God says, no, I am in control of all things, and I will help your enemies not just take from you, but ravage you and pillage you to the point that even those you trust in are going to turn on you. Look at verse 7. He says, all your allies have driven you to your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. Apparently, they had formed some alliances with neighboring nations, and they thought, oh, we're protected because if we fall into trouble, our friends will come. And yet, the Lord says, that's a deception. Even those friends you think will bring you security will fail you because they have prevailed against you. Those who have eaten your bread in a ceremony of forming a treaty, they would have this meal like a friendship meal. And he's saying, even those that you think are friends, they actually set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. What's God saying? In that moment in which you're putting your hope in your treasures and in your treaties, I'm going to wipe you completely out because your hope wasn't in me. How often do we do that, church? We put our hope in the things of the world, and it's just shifting security. So the second thing we're going to see is steadfast security. That we need to actually look, instead of the shifting security that the Lord is showing, we need to actually find security in what is immovable and unchanging. What was Edom's big problem? They didn't honor God because or by way of not honoring his people. We saw that in the earlier verses. In verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you soar aloft like an eagle, though your nest is among the stars, from there I will bring you down. They thought that they were better, and instead of caring for their brother, they cared for themselves, and the Lord just wiped them out. And so we need to be a people who find our ultimate trust in Christ alone. But how do we do that? So if treaty with man doesn't work, what are we to do? We need to have a treaty with God. And what's another name for a treaty with God? It's a covenant. That's the very thing that Jesus comes to bring. If you were to look in Matthew 26:28, we see the covenant or the treaty that Jesus brings. is the only place that we can actually find trust, because the treaties of man fail us. And yet it's here that we're given this treaty with God that will never fail us. This is the night in which Jesus gathers his disciples together and they eat this last meal together. In just a few hours, he's about to be handed over to be murdered. And in 26:26, Matthew writes, "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" So they're taking this supper together. "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks to them, saying, gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" Do you hear the promise and the covenant that is given? That as Christ dies on the cross, his body is broken and his blood is shed. And Jesus says that when we trust in him, that shed blood is a covenant or a treaty formed with us. That by faith in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and we are made right with God. And church, that's the only place that we can find security. That's why the author of Hebrews in chapter 13:5 says that God will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Not because we have something, but because he gave us something, Jesus Christ. And so we need to be a people that are finding our treasure in God and not in the trinkets of the world. So what does this mean for us? It means that we need to be a people that are looking to Jesus regularly and being in awe of him, where we're stirring our hearts. You know, all the things of the world are glisten and glitter just right that draw us in. And if we're not careful, we're drawn to those things and we depart from the ways of God. And what we need to do is we need to stir our hearts again for the ways of God and the things of God, so that the things of the world, as the song goes, grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. So how do we do that? We do that by being in God's word. And oftentimes we just read God's word for information, but I want to encourage you to read God's word to see Jesus Christ. That every time you read God's word, you ask yourself, what is this teaching me about Jesus? How is this growing me in love for Jesus? And then we memorize scripture. We ensure that God's word is hidden into our hearts and stocked away so that on those days when we need somewhere to turn, we turn to God's word. And one of the ways that helps me is by reading biographies of Christians who've gone before us, who've given their lives for the sake of Christ. It stirs me in my love and my affection for Jesus Christ. It helps me to keep pursuing no matter how difficult life can be. And so when life is hard, Obadiah is actually asking the question for us, where do we turn? Is it the treasures and trinkets of the world? Or is it the treasure that is Jesus Christ? So let me pray. And then I'll lead us in our night of prayer in just a moment. Father, we pray. Thank you for Obadiah. We thank you for the truth that it is. We're grateful for the way in which your word, thousands of years later, still speaks to us. Father, please help us to see the treasures and the trinkets that we run after. Help us to see that you are the greatest treasure that we need our lives to be built upon and to be lived for and to be lived through. So we pray now, as we turn our attention to prayer tonight, we pray that you would open our eyes, open up our ears, help us to see, understand, and know you more. We ask in your Son's name.